Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this press briefing about what the state is doing to slow the spread of coronavirus here in Nebraska. As always, we want to remind people about, six rules to keep Nebraska healthy. Again, today's May 5th. Happy Cinco de Mayo Day for everybody. We have moved beyond the 21 days that we talked about last month. However, we want people to remember, we are still going to be doing social distancing. We're going to be doing it for the foreseeable future. So please, again, remember that we want you to stay home. Don't make unnecessary trips outside the household. Try to stay home when you can. Two, we do want you to work, but work in a socially distanced way or continue to work from home if you can. Three, we want to make sure you go out shop, but again, try to limit to shopping once a week. Don't take the family with you. Be efficient. Go to the store. Get what you need. Come back home. Four, you can help children socially distance by keeping them at home to play and avoiding group sports and playgrounds. Five, you can help seniors socially distance by running errands for them, doing their shopping for them so they can stay home. But don't go visit them in a nursing home. We're trying to keep those folks away from everybody else for the time being so that we can make sure that we don't spread the virus to nursing homes or long-term care facilities. And then finally, six, we want people to exercise daily, but do it in an appropriate, socially distanced way or do it from home. So those are our six rules to stay healthy. I mentioned it was Cinco de Mayo, and again, we want everybody to have a happy Cinco de Mayo. But if you're celebrating this again today, the best practice will be to celebrate just with people in your household, or at a minimum, just keep that celebration to 10 people or less. That's one of the ways that we can make sure that we don't spread the virus around the community by those big celebrations. So please continue to remember and respect the 10-person rule. Next, Test Nebraska reminder. So we actually don't have our Test Nebraska board up. It's in the back. But testnebraska.com, we want people to sign up. We actually have 123,508 people have signed up for testnebraska.com. We sent out emails Sunday night to get people registered or for the test we did yesterday in Omaha and Grand Island. As part of that, when you get that email, I got mine, so I know this is it works. They ask you to do the reassessment, and then you'll be given the opportunity, if you fit the profile, to be able to come in and get that 30-minute window where you can schedule coming in and getting that test. My understanding is things went very smoothly yesterday with Test Nebraska, both in Omaha and Grand Island. So, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and answer one of the questions we had. I think we had, between the two sites, we had 251 people get tested yesterday on kind of our soft launch day. We had the folks at CHI helping us at the CHI Health Center Arena. That's more a coincidence just with regard to where we had a big parking lot, but we did have folks at CHI that were actually doing the tests and swabbing for the site we had in Omaha. We had the National Guard doing it in Grand Island at the State Fairgrounds. Again, I think it all went very, very smoothly with regard to that, and we look forward to continuing to ramp that up in the coming days and weeks. So we're very excited about that. Also, as part of that testnebraska.com, and Derek Vance will talk about this as well, is that we got our lab set up and validated, calibrated, all that sort of thing. So we're very excited about that announcement. So the test swabs that we took yesterday will be going to that test lab and then getting turned around back to folks. They'll be getting an email back letting them know what those test results are. So we're very excited. And I just want to, first of all, compliment the folks at CHI. We've set up our testing lab. Actually, Paul Hamill asked about this yesterday. So we're making the announcement today. We've set up our testing lab at St. Elizabeth's here in Lincoln. The folks at CHI have been the ones who have been working to get that set up in conjunction with us. And again, Derek, I really appreciate, I keep mentioning Derek. Derek Vance, who's the president of CHI St. Elizabeth, is going to be one of our speakers here today. But CHI has been a tremendous partner as we've gone through this entire emergency, not the least of which is helping us get up our lab set up here in Lincoln to be able to do the testing for testnebraska.com. And as I mentioned, this is a PCR machine, polymerase chain reaction machine. It's not a new technology, but it is a fair amount of work to get these machines and labs set up. In fact, it could take up to months to get this done up. And the folks at CHI working together with our team has been able to get that set up in a matter of days. So we really appreciate all the folks at CHI to be able to get this done. This is going to allow us to really greatly expand our capacity up to that 3,000 tests a day. We've got our lab set up. It's all validated. We got our testing set up. So now what we're going to do is continue to work on getting people to sign up for testnebraska.com. So again, please sign up for testnebraska.com. If you have somebody who wants to sign up in Spanish, then go to testnebraska.com/ES. So there's a Spanish language version that people can go sign up with. That's another great alternative if English is not your first language. We want people to sign up. Again, we've got over 123,000 right now. This is how we're going to not only be able to see what's going on in the state of Nebraska from an assessment standpoint, but also how we're going to schedule people to get tested. So if you want to see more testing in your community, a great way to do that is get signed up at testnebraska.com. Challenge 5 of your friends to do that. Hashtag TestNebraskaChallenge. Get people signed up because that's what's going to help us be able to schedule these tests and be able to get it done. So we're very excited about that and the fact that we've got the testing up, we got the lab up, and it's really been a great cooperation with CHI. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and bring up Derek Vance at CHI. Again, he's the president at St. Elizabeth's, to be able to say a few more words. So Derek, I'm going to turn over to you.
Thank you, Governor. Appreciate being here with you this afternoon. Again, Derek Vance, president at CHI Health St. Elizabeth and Nebraska Heart. And it's an honor to be here with you this afternoon. St. Elizabeth has served the state of Nebraska and the Lincoln community for over 120 years. So when the governor recently called and asked if we would be willing to stand up a central laboratory to support Test Nebraska, we were honored to answer that call. As he mentioned, in the last week, a lot has gone on within our laboratory space. We've been working around the clock with our staff and with state resources to get this laboratory ready. We've received in the last several days new equipment, even robotics that allow us to do the large number of testing. Now, normally when, and all of that, of course, has been funded by the state of Nebraska, so it's very exciting. Normally when setting up a lab or a new piece of equipment, it takes several weeks, as the governor mentioned, and even months, to become familiar with the equipment, test the equipment, validate the tests, and after just under a week, around the clock, as of about 10 o'clock last night, we are validated as far as the tests go and ready to go. So very excited about that. The capacity of the lab, as the governor mentioned, will be up to 3,000 a day and more if necessary, but that is our goal at this point, is the 3,000 a day. The tests will be brought, it will be staffed around the clock 24/7, and the tests will be brought to St. Elizabeth during the day by State Patrol. One of the advantages that we have as a health system is to be able to move staff around quickly where we need them. So that's the case with this laboratory, is we're able to redeploy staff to staff this lab and make sure that it's staffed properly and able to run not just the number of tests, but continually throughout the day and night. So we're very excited about this partnership. We're grateful for the governor and his vision on testing. We've been working for months now on winning this battle inside of our hospitals. And the other key side of this, as we know, is the testing. So winning that battle outside of the hospital with Test Nebraska and increased testing is the key. So we're excited to be that partner and grateful for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Derek. And we also appreciate your cooperation early on in this when we opened up one of your floors to be able to take folks. And you were helpful, for example, when we had to move people out of long-term care facilities. So really, CHI has just been a tremendous partner through this entire emergency. So we really appreciate the great work. Again, it's been a great cooperation between CHI and the state of Nebraska to be able to help keep Nebraskans healthy and safe. So thank you very much, Derek. Appreciate the work of all your team. And again, just yeoman's work and getting this lab set up really in record time, if you want to think about it from that way. So fantastic work. So tell your team thanks. So very excited about that. Also, it is National Nurses Week. And we have Dr. Kerry Wade, who's the president-elect of the Nebraska Nurses Association, going to come up here in a minute. But before you do that, doctor, hold on just a second, because I am going to not only declare May 6th as Nurses Day, but the week of May 6th through the 12th as Nurses Week, an entire month of May as National Nurse Month here in Nebraska. And, of course, our nurses have been the front line of working to keep Nebraskans healthy and safe through this public health emergency and dealing with our folks who are testing positive for coronavirus. My wife was a nurse, so I have a little bit of understanding about what all your members are going through right now. So I appreciate all the great hard work. So here we have the proclamation that is signed declaring it Nebraska Nurses National Nurses Month in the state of Nebraska, and asking people to all take due note of that. And please, if you know a nurse, please thank a nurse, because that person is working very hard right now to be able to keep Nebraskans safe here. So we really appreciate the work of all our nurses here in the state of Nebraska. And Dr. Wade, would you like to come up and say a few words on behalf of your membership?
Well, thank you, Governor Ricketts.
We're trying to promote you.
Thank you, Governor Ricketts, for recognizing the nurses of Nebraska. You know, I've been a nurse, registered nurse in Nebraska for 20 years, and it's a profession I'm very, very proud of. Nursing has always been a very noble profession. There's a reason that the Gallup polls have recognize nurses as the number one most honest and ethical profession for the last 18 consecutive years. Nurses are strong, compassionate, and caring. But never has caring required more courage, selflessness, and strength than it has over the last few months. Never has caring put ourselves and our families at such high risk. In January of this year, the World Health Organization declared that 2020 would be recognized as the Year of the Nurse. This is in celebration of our founder of our profession, Florence Nightingale's 200th birthday. Nightingale's focus was on improving sanitary conditions to prevent the spread of infection. Very fitting, considering our current situation. While 2020 was proclaimed the Year of the Nurse, we recognize that healthcare is complex and requires all members of the healthcare team, from our EMS first responders, our partners in public health, physicians, physician's assistants, respiratory therapists, nursing assistants, pharmacists, and so many more, to collaborate and work together to promote the best health outcomes for Nebraskans. So this week and this month, we celebrate nurses and all those who work alongside us. Thank you for all you are doing. Thank you for being strong and courageous. And to the nurses specifically, thank you for choosing to be a Nebraska nurse. Happy Nurses Week and Nurses Month. And again, thank you, Governor Ricketts.
All right, well, hey, thank you very much, Dr. Wade. But don't forget, you got to take this with you. That's for you. Oh. All right, well, again, thank you very much, Dr. Wade, for coming to say thanks to all of our nurses who are working so hard to keep Nebraskans safe. I want to add my thanks as well. Again, know that you work very, very hard under some trying conditions, especially right now, to be able to keep Nebraskans safe. On behalf of all Nebraskans, we're very grateful for your efforts. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate everything you're doing and will continue to do as we work our way through this public health emergency. So thanks again to all our nurses out there. And then one other announcement I want to make is the housing and urban development money. So through the CARES Act and part of the federal government recovery from what we're going through with regard to this emergency, about $685 million has been made available to local housing organizations. Nebraska has received about $2.5 million of that. That is going to be distributed out to those local groups. And so you can find out more about this program at us.hud.gov. But anyway, it's a housing and urban development program that Nebraska is going to be receiving $2.5 million as part of the recovery from the coronavirus. So I wanted to make that brief announcement as well. And with that, let's go ahead and get into questions and answers. From George Lobby, the North Platte Bulletin, several people want to take the antibody test, but it's cost prohibitive, $75 to $150 each. Is there some financial help available? So currently, with regard to the antibody test, there's about five of those tests that have been approved by the USDA. And I think part of what we're looking at here in Nebraska is we're very focused on, as Dr. Anton was describing yesterday, the antigen test, which tells you if you currently have the virus. So again, getting back to why we're doing the testing. We test somebody, if they test positive for the virus, which means they currently have it, we get that person to isolate and stay away from everybody. Then we go back to their contacts for the last couple of weeks and get those people to quarantine, which means they stay away from people, they monitor their symptoms. And, you know, again, if they start developing systems, that's when they might go in and get tested. With the antibody test, what that determines, that doesn't tell you whether you currently have the virus. It tells you if you had the virus in the past. And so that has got a different purpose with regard to how you might use it. And we may at the state be exploring that at some point down the road, but currently we're really focused on people who currently have the virus, not people who may have had the virus in the past. So while we may look at expanding what we're doing, the types of testing we're doing from the antigen to include the antibody test, at this point we're not going to be doing that. And so if you want to get the antibody test, you will be responsible for paying that on your own right now. Grant Schulte, from the Associated Press. How much in total has the state spent on personal protective equipment since the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak? That number is about $25 million. How much has the state spent on ventilators since the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak? That number is much smaller, about $58,685. And the reason that's so much smaller is we've rented some of those ventilators, but we really haven't run into an issue with regard to ventilators here in the state. We've had plenty of capacity just about every place you go. So, for example, if you look at right now in the Omaha metro area, we've got 347 ventilators and 90 of them are in use right now. So we've got lots of capacity there. It's the same story in Lincoln. I can't think of the numbers off the top of my head, but we've got lots of ventilator space available. And in places like Grand Island and Hall County, we've worked to be able to transfer patients from CHI St. Francis. Again, they're a great partner in helping us out here. Transfer patients from CHI St. Francis to make sure that we keep those ventilator beds available. And right now, I believe in Grand Island, they've got about 21 ventilators. They've got 16 ICU beds. I think right now they've only got 10 of those ICU beds are being used, 8 ventilators being used. Five of them are for coronavirus patients. So you can see we still got capacity even there in Hall County. So again, we really haven't had that big of a demand for ventilators, so we really haven't spent that much on ventilators. Is the state publicly reporting details on coronavirus-related purchases, such as specific quantity and amount paid to each vendor for PPE supplies and ventilators? All that information is on our DAS website, so that's for all of our contracts, das.nebraska.gov. Some of the smaller vendors may not get up there, and certainly we're prioritizing getting other work done, so those contracts, the larger contracts will be up there. Smaller vendors may take time to get up there just because we're trying to do it as we get our other work done. But yes, all that information will be up there. So again, all the contracts for the state are going to be up there. Has Nebraska's share of the CARES Act money reduced what we have to spend in state dollars? So we've spent about $24.7 million of the money the legislature appropriated to us a month and a half ago over what was. And our plan is to be able to replace those dollars with the CARES Act money so that we can put that money we took from the cash reserve back into the cash reserve and use the federal money, that CARES Act money, to replace it to the extent that the CARES Act allows us to do that. Now, we expect that to be substantially all that money, but there may be some things that we paid for at the state level that is not going to be allowed for by the CARES Act money, but the general idea is to replace the money the legislature appropriated with CARES Act money. Cody Ronfeld, WJAG. It is clear some health departments in Nebraska are short-staffed. Is the state thinking about doing anything to lend temp workers to health departments with a high volume of cases like Madison County? So, first of all, a couple things. One, we've told the health departments to go ahead and staff up that will be expenses that will be reimbursed by this CARES Act money. So, first of all, public health departments know they can go out and just start staffing up. Second of all, in cases where we've had something like what's happened in Dakota County, where we've had a lot of demand in a very short period of time, we have worked to be able to get the public health department in Dakota County more resources, help them with communications, administrative staffing. And then also one of the things we're doing is ramping up the contact tracing. You know, we talked about that testing earlier, but we're ramping up our contact tracing to help out those local public health departments as well. So we have stood up 6 teams so far from the state, about 223 people. We're moving to get up to 10 teams by the end of next week. So by May 11th, we should have 10 of those teams out there helping our public health departments be able to do that contact tracing. So again, that's calling up the person who has been tested positive for coronavirus, really finding out about where they've been, and so forth, then going back to all their contacts over the last couple of weeks and getting those people to quarantine. So getting the person who's tested positive to isolate, getting everybody else to quarantine and monitor their conditions so that we can slow the spread of virus here in the state. So that's another way that we've been supplying extra help to folks locally. So we absolutely have been doing that with regard to our local public health departments, giving them additional staffing. Andrew Osaki, KETV. Why hasn't a single Nebraska prison inmate been tested, even though five correctional staff have been tested positive? So again, this gets back to treating inmates just like everybody else in the public. When somebody gets tested positive, that person then gets isolated. And we go back and look at their contacts and keep them quarantined, but they don't necessarily get tested. So the inmates are being treated the same way. So with regard to our correctional folks, there hasn't been a need to test those inmates because, again, just like the public, if you start showing symptoms, if you present with symptoms, that's when you start being tested. But since none of those inmates have presented with symptoms and the correctional workers that have been tested positive have been kept isolated from our inmates, there hasn't been a reason to test somebody. But the inmates will be treated just like everybody else in the public. We've got a community standard of health here in the state. So if an inmate who had been in contact with one of our correctional officers would present with symptoms, that's when they would get tested. Taylor, do we have some other questions?
We have several other questions. So Jose Zozaya from KTV would like to know, is there a plan in place to deal with any backlogging tests Nebraska might experience, and what lessons can we learn from Iowa or Utah?
So Jose Zozaya is asking, is there any plans to deal with any backlogging at our lab that we've set up at CHI for Test Nebraska? Is there any lessons to be learned from Iowa or Utah? And actually, with our capacity there, about 3,000 tests a day, and what our plan is to be able to do that 3,000 tests per day, we do not anticipate that there will be a backlog at that center. And certainly, we've been in contact with Iowa as they've been setting up their lab and so forth, but we don't expect that there's going to be any sort of backlog because we've got the capacity to do 3,000 tests a day there. And right now, as we just said, we just did 251. So it's going to take us time to catch up on actually the swabbing to be able to leverage the full capacity of the lab to be able to get there. So there probably won't be a need for that.
So Nicole from KPTM and Aaron Duffy from the World Herald are both asking about meat.
So Nicole from KPTM and Aaron Duffy from the World Herald are asking about meat.
Yeah, and they want to basically, Hy-Vee and Costco are placing some limits on how much meat you can buy. Are you hearing from industry leaders that are advising to put these limits on meat purchases? Do we have a meat shortage? What do you suggest stores do?
So apparently Hy-Vee and Costco are putting a limit on how much meat you can buy in their stores. Have we heard from anybody recommending that stores do that? Do we have a meat shortage in this country? So to unpack that just a little bit, obviously with the meat processing industry, we have seen where, again, tough industry to be able to socially quarantine, tough at work, tough at home, right of reason. We covered a bunch in these previous briefings. And so what we've seen is that some of these plants have shut down and some of these plants are operating more at a reduced capacity. And so without having seen any numbers, I imagine that's having an impact on how much of the meat supply is actually out there. But nobody has ever come to me to say that we should be recommending to stores that they should be limiting the supply that they do. Those are decisions I think Costco and Hy-Vee are making on their own, probably more around customer satisfaction than anything else. So there definitely has been a slowdown in the processing out there, but nobody's asked me to tell people to limit how much people buy. I think it really just gets back to what they're doing is trying to keep customer satisfaction so that all their customers coming in will be able to find some sort of selection. And so, again, I don't believe we have a meat shortage. There may not be all the selection that you have out there, but certainly we're seeing a slowdown in the pipeline, which is going to be limiting, again, some of the selection.
Joanne Young would like to know what the practice is for telling state workers when they've been exposed and whether they should stay home.
So Joanne Young, Journal Star, wants to know what is the practice when our state teammates have been exposed to coronavirus and whether or not they should stay home. And again, so they would be treated just like everybody else as well from the standpoint of when somebody tests positive, right, then that goes to the local public health department. Then the local public health department then does the contact tracing of all the people that person's been in contact with to let those people know that they may have been exposed and they should be quarantined. So that's the way it works for whether it's our state teammates or anybody else, any other company, that the local public health department does the contact tracing and informs people that they may have been exposed. And that's why we're standing up these contact tracing teams I just talked about, to be able to really supplement the work that the public health departments are doing. So our teams are at the direction of the local public health departments. They're a force multiplier, if you will. They're added staff to be able to help the public health, local public health department do that contact tracing. So they essentially are at the direction of the local public health department. But the local public health department is the ones who's actually doing that and informing people that they may have been exposed and that they need to quarantine.
Alexandra from KTVU would like to know about the statewide transfer center that we're working with CHI on, and how will it be utilized across the state and across multiple healthcare entities?
So Alexandra Stone wants to know about our statewide transfer center. So as we mentioned in the past, when we see a number of cases, or maybe even just the percent of cases testing positive in an area, whether it's Grand Island or Lexington, what we do is make sure that we've got hospital capacity in those areas. So for example, in Grand Island, we've at CHI St. Francis, CHI has transferred patients to other hospitals in Lincoln and Omaha primarily, is that right,
yeah.
Derek? For Lexington, the folks have been transferred. Lexington is now part, the Lexington Community Hospital is not a part of a wider healthcare system. So we've worked with Good Samaritan Hospital, another CHI, right, in Kearney, Great Plains and North Platte, to be able to transfer patients there. So with our transfer center, what we're doing, and again, in conjunction with CHI, another great example of how you guys are being great partners, CHI is basically working with the state to be able to man that transfer center so that we can have one-stop shopping coordinated to make sure that we know where all those transfers are going between different hospitals. Every hospital system in the state has been great to work with. They have all been willing to take patients if we need them to. So working together, the state and CHI have a kind of a central location if people need to transfer patients to or from a hospital, and that's kind of that central point to be able to work with. So that's kind of the point of the transfer center. Again, this is assisting us to make sure that we've got the hospital capacity in a given location if we tend to find that we've got a hot spot there, like we've done with Hall County and with Dawson County. So that's kind of how we're using that.
Maya Sands from KMTV would like to know, have you extended the job search exemption for unemployment? Do you have to search for a job this week if you apply for unemployment?
So Maya Sands with KMTV wants to know if we've extended the job search requirement. Again, you do not have to search for a job. You don't have to be searching for a job right now to continue to collect unemployment benefits.
Julie Anderson from the World Herald wants to know how accurate the test Nebraska tests are. What's the rate of false positives? And then she has one more.
So Julie Anderson from Omaha World Herald wants to know what the accuracy rate of the testnebraska.com tests are. Off the top of my head, I cannot tell you that. It's a polymerase chain reaction machine. So this is not new technology. This is the same technology as everyone else. So it should be just the same as our public health lab or any other public health lab that's using this technology anywhere in this country. But the specific number, I don't know the answer. Dr. Antone, do you know that number?
I do.
Want to come up here and talk to me about it?
So the polymerase chain reaction, the antigen tests, are all validated for at least about a 95% sensitivity and specificity, which means if you have the virus and it tests positive, it's 95% chance that it's positive. The specificity, though, is as the illness goes on and you get tested later on in the illness, and sometimes you might not be actively ill or even contagious, and the test can still test sometimes positive. And nobody really knows the answer at what point in time after you've contracted that virus when that test might be negative again. But most people feel that after one or two negative tests, you're probably not carrying that virus anymore. I also, since Governor gave me a chance to get up here, I want to thank all our nurses, recognize all of them at the Department of Health and Human Services. We have various nurses throughout all our facilities. Regional centers, FQHCs, in our own state office building. I want to thank all the nurses. I personally like nurses a lot. I married one too, and we have two sons that are nurses, so a shout out to them too. So thank you for letting me get up here, Governor.
Thank you, Dr. Anto.
Julie would also like to know, we deployed the 325 contact tracers from our state employees base, and we've begun hiring towards the folks we need to get to 1,000.
So Julie also wants to know about where we are with regard to our contact tracing. As I said, we've got teams 1 through 6 that are stood up and out there deployed, so to speak. They're at call centers, so they're not actually physically in the locations like Grand Island or whatever. But they are actually assisting those public health departments. We will have teams 7 through 10 trained up by the end of next week. So then those folks will then be out there assisting. And that will bring us up to that 385 number or so that we expect to have as part of that. Then we are working with some other companies to be able to get some additional testing to take us to the next leg up. So we're working toward that goal of 1,000. We're getting a good ways there right now. And we'll certainly keep you updated as we bring on additional staff to be able to tell you where we are on that progress toward 1,000 people.
Paul Hamill would like to know how we'll be able to get to 3,000 tests a day, and then who's actually working in the lab, are the Nebraskans who work for CHI or contractors?
So Paul Hamill from the World Herald wants to know that how are we going to get to 3,000 tests per day. So we've got the two teams stood up right now, one in Omaha and one in Grand Island. So we're just really kind of at the beginning of this, right? Day one, now we're in day two. So doing that soft launch to kind of get the kinks worked out of the system with regard to people receiving their emails, coming in and getting the test, kind of find out how many people who say they're going to come in actually come in, that sort of thing. As we get more experience, then we're going to start creating more mobile testing teams around the state to be able to do this. So we expect to be able to stand up more of those teams. Kind of our ballpark right now is we expect to have 6 teams doing 500 tests a day to be able to do that. But of course, you know, as we gather experience, you know, gain experience and get more information, we may modify how we're exactly going to do that. But that's kind of our plan, is to stand up more teams and be able to roll those out across the state to be able to get to those 3,000 tests a day. And what was Paul's second part of his question?
Who's working in the lab?
Oh, and who's working in the lab? So again, we're working with CHI, St. Elizabeth. It's their people that are staffing the lab. It's a CLIA certified lab, so we're very comfortable with the folks that are working it. And again, they just did heroic work to be able to get this lab set up in record time to be able to start processing the test results that we the test results from the swabs we started taking yesterday.
Charlie Brogan says a link in Lancaster County Health Director is recommending against carpooling with anyone that's not in your immediate family. Is that something that we've suggested for the rest of the state?
Charlie Brogan has said that the public health director here in Lincoln Lancaster has recommended against carpooling. And clearly, Charlie doesn't watch all of my press conferences because we have talked about this. One of the things we've said is, I can't remember which one it was, but we did talk about this, and that really, if you're going to carpool, best practice would be only carpooling with people in your household. If you are going to carpool with somebody else, then have only 2 people carpool, one in the front, one in the back, both wearing masks. So that would be kind of best practice for carpooling. Pat Lopez is right. The best practice, though, would be just people in your household.
And then finally, Rob McCartney says that Iowa has released data regarding positive coronavirus cases in meat processing plants. Do we plan to do the same in Nebraska?
So Rob McCartney says Iowa has released data with regard to positive tests in meat processing facilities in the state of Iowa. We are not going to do that on a specific company-wide basis. So our policy is not to do that on a specific company-by-company basis. Is that it, Taylor?
That's all I've got for now.
All right, great. So questions in here.
Do you have an updated number of how many cases there are within nursing homes in Nebraska?
Do I have an updated number on the number of nursing home cases? Dr. Antone, do you have that number right off hand? I can stall here for a little bit while you're looking for that. Taylor, why don't you look for it? We'll come back to that answer if you can find it. Does that sound fair?
Sure.
Yeah, other questions? John.
To the meat, I'm curious, would you recommend Nebraskans to maybe conserve meat, maybe eat it a little bit less, or would you recommend they stock up on meat or just kind of do what they have been doing?
No, I think Nebraskans can continue to do what they have been doing with regard to their meat. They may just not find the same selection. And we kind of talked about this. Remember when we, early on in this emergency, we told people go out and get a couple of weeks worth of supplies. And we had Kathy Sifkin from the Grocers Association here saying, hey, we're working to catch up on the supply chain. This is going to be very similar. You may not find the same selection you found before, but you're going to find that you're going to be able to get, you know, something to be able to feed your family with. So I think just, again, we want people to shop once a week, go to the store, buy what you need for that week, you'll be fine. Yeah, Lee.
And
In regards to the testing with CHI, I had a question for Derek.
Derek, going to call you up. Do me a favor, when Lee asks the question, will you repeat the question so everybody else can hear it? Thanks.
The workload has to be a step up maybe from what you guys have been doing prior. Can you kind of talk about maybe where you had to bring in some other resources, other departments that had to help you out, and then you know just the responsibility of facilitating that number of tests to be able to kind of give answers to the people that need them?
Sure. So the COVID-19 space for the state lab is a separate space now in the lab.
Question.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Governor. So the question is, what have we done to staff up for this lab and get it ready beyond our normal capacity? Did I summarize that okay? So the this lab space has been, it's within our lab, and basically we have reworked the area to allow this new equipment to come in. So the fact that we've got the new equipment and the robotics that come with it, that's what's going to allow us that high capacity. Really, those robotics are key to getting that 3,000 tests a day. The staff are the other key. And some of that, yes, is coming from our St. Elizabeth Laboratory. They all currently are CHI Health employees. But again, part of the system advantage we have is being able to take, for example, here in Lincoln, I can bring staff up from Nebraska Heart and utilize them up here where I need them most, or we can pull them from Kearney or from the Metro in Omaha, and we can put them where we need to put them. So that's effectively how we'll have that lab run 24/7.
Can you talk about the responsibility also? I mean, that number of tests is a jump from what you guys have seen. You're going to be facilitating it, and you've done it before, so you know how to do it. But just kind of that, not the burden, but that jump is significant.
It is, absolutely. And it's not just the number of tests, but it's how we're processing those tests. Over the weekend, I was in there watching and seeing the staff get trained so that we could go live this week. And it's a different way of thinking on these particular type of tests. This is new equipment. The robotics are new. So it's really a whole different way of processing those tests in the lab and a lot of training that's been going on.
You said the lab had been set up and it's all validated.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, and have you validated the accuracy of the tests that are being processed in the lab?
So great question. The question was around the process of validation. What does that mean, and have we validated the tests that have been coming into the lab? So I'm not a lab expert, but I would tell you that whenever you get a new piece of lab equipment, in addition to just getting familiar with what it can do and how you process those tests, you have to have your negatives and positives go through, and they have to line up and get the result that you're expecting to get. So you'll take specimens that we have a known outcome for, either a negative or positive, and we will run it through that machine and make sure that the result is what we expected it to be. That's the validation process, and we do that many times, several times, till we have a level of confidence that we know it's working well. The question on have we validated the tests that have been brought in, we just started getting the tests. So that's really not a validation process. The validation is up front. If there were to something that would come up that would have us question whether or not it was working, we would go back to that validation process.
So you will do that at some point with these tests that are coming in?
Absolutely. Every day that we're running tests, if there's something that comes up, we'll revisit that. But the validation process is up front, so that assures us as we follow our processes and protocols with that new lab equipment, those results that we're getting are we have a confidence level that they're correct.
I'm confused still because it sounds like you're validating that the machinery, the testing machinery is accurate, but there have been questions about whether the tests themselves are accurate.
It's Derek, both.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Sure.
So don't go too far away because here, you can stand back there. Go stand in my spot. So, Fred, what happened, so as Derek was saying, so we get samples that we know whether they're negative or positive, right? And to validate the lab, then we run them through the process, and if they all come out negative or positive the way we expected, then we know the process works. If you're talking about the samples we're taking from the people, that's the same process that we would do today anyway, right? So right now, it's the same type of process, this PCR, polymerase chain reaction process, is the same thing we're using in this lab that we're using in the public health lab. So the public health lab has a process, they take those tests in, they run them through, they get positive or negative. That's the same thing that's gonna happen in this test lab too. It's not a different technique. I mean, it's a new machine and all that sort of thing, but it's not fundamentally different from what we're doing currently in the public health lab. So we'll get the same sort of results of positive or negative coming out there now that we've actually tested that, yeah, these samples here came out the way we expected because they came from the public health lab. So the public health lab sent them to us. We test them, run them through, boom, they look like same stuff. So we know that the process works. So with regard to that, I mean, obviously there's going to be just general processes where you go back and make sure everything's working in both the public health lab and this lab, but it's going to be the same process to verify that, you know, we're doing all the right things in both places. So it really, you don't need to go back and do anything different from the tests that are coming in from CHI Health Center in Omaha to be able to do this versus what we're doing with the, you know, the National Guard when they were up testing in Madison. It's the same sort of tests, same swabs, same, you know, viral media, they're sending it down, running it through the whole process. Does that make sense?
Eventually it will.
So again, we tested, we took the samples, we already knew how they were supposed to work, ran through, it all worked, so now we're taking in the other ones, and it's the same process for this as the public health lab. They're really, the testing process is pretty much the same.
So are the tests the...
Remember, the tests we take in the swabs, when we take it, it's just a swab. It's just taking that swab. We take a swab of the nasal pharyngeal area to get a sample of the virus, then we put it in that test tube with the viral media. That's exactly the same for all these tests. There's nothing different about that part of it. That part is all the same. So whether what we're doing in Madison, same viral test, put it in the viral media, ship it off the public health lab. This test here, take that swab, put it in the test tube, ship it off to the CHI lab. That part doesn't change. That front end part's not different. Okay, thanks, Derek. Unless, Martha, do you have a question for Derek?
Paul Hamill just wants to know how many people are working in the lab.
Derek. Paul Hamill wants to know how many people are working.
So the range will be 15 to 25. When we get to that 3,000 plus level a day, it'll be closer to the 2025 level. And that, just to be specific, that's just that lab, that section. We, of course, still have the rest of the lab that is operating under to support the hospital. So, sorry, the question was how many people are working in the lab.
All right, thanks, Derek. Mm-hmm. Don't go too far. Martha.
Okay. Derek said that the equipment had been purchased by the state of Nebraska. And so is this part of the $27 million that was spent for the Test Nebraska initiative? And
so the question was, Derek said that the equipment that is being used in the lab here at St. Elizabeth was purchased by the state. Is that part of that $27 million that we paid to the Silicon Slopes companies to be like Nomi Health and everything? Yes, that's part of that $27 million is them supplying the machines so that we can put it in with the CHI lab to be able to get it up and running.
Okay. And then once you get done testing the 125,000 or so people who've signed up for Test Nebraska, what are you going to do? How are you going to allocate the other 400,000 or 450,000 tests that you would have available?
Right. So Martha asked, you purchased 540,000 tests. You've got 120,000 people signed up. That leaves you got over 400,000 tests left over. Well, first of all, we want to make sure that we get more people signed up. So please go out and sign up at testnebraska.com. We're going to continue to push that message for a while. So sign up at testnebraska.com. As we have additional capacity and are able to do more things, that's why I said, you know, our current plan is to focus on testnebraska.com. But as we get into this and get experience, we may change how we're doing that to be able to make sure that we're best utilizing those resources that we have. So again, we're just kind of on day two of getting this ramped up, so I can't tell you how that might change. But as we get more experience, we're going to be flexible with regard to making sure we're making the best use of those resources to get the most people tested.
Paul Hamill wants to know what the expertise or education is of the people that are running or working in the lab.
Derek, can you come up and talk about the expertise or education level required of the folks who are running the lab?
Sure. Do I need to repeat that question?
No, you don't.
You know, in the lab, you have medical technologists, you have medical MLTs, and you have lab assistants. Most of the staff that we are bringing in are at the lab assistant level. So the training they receive is specific to receiving the specimens. But we do have very highly trained personnel. You have to in a lab to make sure that you know, controls are correct and results, again, are, like we talked before, coming out the way they should. So it's really like any department in the hospital, you've got different levels of training that are required for the lab. The lab is no different.
We have time for just a couple more questions.
Couple more questions. Oh, Gary, did you ever get that answer we were asking you before?
I do, yes.
You want to come up and give us that answer?
So as of yesterday, the question was how many long-term care residents have tested positive, and we, as of yesterday, had 248 residents test positive and over 211 long-term care facilities. So and those are just the long-term care facilities. Obviously, there's other types of nursing facilities, assisted living, skilled nursing, things of that level, but that's just for the long-term care. Yes? So the question is, are the people that are working in the long-term care facilities being given any specific instructions or teaching? And yes, it's ongoing daily about how to put on and take off your personal protective equipment. Now, most long-term care facilities are divided into zones, or different zones for maybe patients that have tested positive will all stay together in that same zone. And those nurses or personnel that are working in that facility will work specific in that facility. So there's webinars, training on a daily basis going on for not just long-term care facilities, but all nursing facilities, assisted living, skilled nursing, everything of that level.
You want to talk a little about what Shelley's doing in her team?
Yeah, and then as Governor just mentioned, we have Shelley Schwedhelm from UNMC, who's actually gone out and done personal visits to a lot of the long-term care assisted living facilities to just give them additional training and expertise on how to set up these zones and things of that nature. So that's still ongoing. She still plans on visiting several other nursing facilities in the near future.
Great. Actually, we're going to go to Brandon.
Following up on the meat processing, while you can't give out the individual plants, do you have a number total involved in those?
I don't have a number total. We'll have to go do the research on that to find out. I don't know what the total is right offhand. Do you want, we'll go last one there. No, don't.
Okay, there
John, why don't you put your hand up earlier then?
There are
go ahead. So again, the question was, hey, you've got 5,000 inmates and none of them have been you know, showing symptoms or positive. Again, they're getting treated. Again, we've only had five correction workers even test positive. The inmates are being treated just like the other members of the general public. So we've got the vast majority of Nebraskans haven't tested positive or been exposed to somebody either. So, and of course, we took steps early on to end, for example, visits into those facilities, having everybody wear masks, you know, all that sort of thing. So again, the inmates will be treated just like everybody else in the public. If they have been exposed to somebody and start presenting symptoms, then we'll get them tested. John, last one.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, you were teasing me. Okay, great. Well, again, folks, thank you very much. Appreciate you all coming here again. We'll be back here again tomorrow, 2:00 Central Time, throughout the rest of the week to do these press briefings. I will also be doing my Spanish language press briefings at 5 p.m. Central Time tonight and Thursday night. And then Thursday night, I will be on again with speaking with Nebraska on NET. So we'll have additional guests there as well. So thanks a lot. We'll see you back here tomorrow.